All right, so go with me here. You don't need to be a big oil trader to understand there are two pretty critical components to the global petroleum industry. Number one, finding and getting the crude oil out of the ground.
Right.
Number two, refining the oil into fuels like diesel, kerosene, jet fuel, gasoline, and heating oil.
Right.
And getting those fuels to where the demand is. And where the fuel is most needed is usually not where the oil is. So while the price of all those fuels is tied to the price of crude oil in the ground, how much refinery capacity is available at any given moment to make the fuels also drives the price up and down. So the U.S. finds itself at a curious crossroads in the oil business, and you referred to it a moment ago. This country is an oil producer, but we need far more oil than we can produce alone. So the U.S. is a net importer of oil. But because of all the refineries in the U.S. serving this country's insatiable demand for specific fuels, the U.S. is suddenly on pace to be a net exporter of petroleum products this year. And that's for the first time since 1949. Joining us now is Tom Kloza. He's the chief oil analyst at the Oil Price Information Service, or OPIS. Tom, good morning.
Hi, John. How are you?
So I'm great. This is a curious snapshot of the supply and demand picture in the industry right now. What's going on?
Well, it speaks to a couple of things. You've heard the old saw about we haven't built a refinery in 30 years, but that's really nonsense. We've built vertically, and we have probably about 2 million barrels a day more refining capacity or the ability to make more products than we have demand. And we have a world-class refining system, some of the most sophisticated manufacturing in the world. And just to our south, we've got a continent called South America that has is growing like crazy and has an appetite for diesel and a little bit of gasoline, and we're sending a lot of product there.
And what is responsible for this apparent spike that's going to put us on track to be an exporter, aside from just a general increase in demand?
Mostly it's diesel. We're big, big exporters of diesel. We get excited here in the United States about gasoline. People see red when they see the signs at the pump. But the high-growth product internationally is diesel. And if you think about it, as agriculture ramps up, as mining ramps up, as manufacturing and industry ramp up in former third-world countries, the first product that they need in the petroleum family is going to be diesel fuel.
Now, that has a constraining impact on price, I would think. If the demand outside the U.S. is competing with demand inside the U.S., price of all fuels is going to rise. Are we already seeing that?
Yeah, to a certain extent. Now, you can argue it both ways. I think probably we're going to be paying more for diesel for some time to come because we do export nearly a million barrels a day, or about one of every four or five barrels that are produced in the United States. And offshore demand for that product is growing much, much more than domestically. When the Panama Canal gets refurbished in a few years, there'll probably be fewer trucks traversing the country and moving goods from one point to another. On the other hand, the fact that diesel is needed offshore probably helps us increase our gasoline production. We do export some of that, but we probably make more than refiners would like to, only because they need to make the high profit product, which is diesel fuel.
And we're speaking with Tom Kloza, chief oil analyst at the Oil Price Information Service, OPIS. And Tom, let me ask you, how does this change the conversation, if it does, about oil as a strategic product, as something that it is involved in terms of our homeland security and our country's defense?
Well, I think it's still very, very strategic. Our strategic oil reserve now is probably there if something happens in terms of Mideast or in the MENA countries to interrupt supplies and send prices skyward. But I think it probably makes sense in the long run. We have world-class refineries. We can keep the jobs here by exporting some of the product to South America. It's not as though we're exporting products to North Korea or hostile countries. We still import some crude oil from pretty hostile countries. So on balance, I think it's a sea change. It's something that hasn't happened since after World War II. But it's a balance that's going to grow. And actually, we're going to see it on the crude oil side as well. There's an awful lot of domestic production that's coming on, and we're going to be less dependent upon crude oil that's taken from offshore this decade. But it's a little bit nonsensical for politicians to say we're going to be self-sufficient. It's a global market, and we're going to be importing and exporting globally.
Well, Tom Kloza, who's chief oil analyst at OPIS, which is the Oil Price Information Service, let me get radical with you then. Okay, so it's absurd, really, to think that you can be independent in terms of petroleum, particularly if you're an importer of petroleum. But why not create a strategic diesel reserve where we can actually monopolize and control and be completely independent of the world supply of diesel since we have the advantage? Or does that make no sense?
Well, we actually have a small one. We have a small one. It's in the Northeast, and it's used for in case of a heating oil emergency for a cold winter. The fact is that diesel fuel and heating oil are pretty much the same animal. It's just that diesel fuel has to have much, much lower sulfur. So you can use the diesel fuel to warm up homes, let's say, should it be a very cold winter. So far, we haven't seen that, so we haven't had to tap that. There are some problems with refined problems or products that you don't have with crude. It's not like wine. You just can't store it and use it later. In some cases, you get degradation of product, and it's a little bit like if you're storing gasoline in your basement or your shed outside, and you wait a couple of years and you try to start your lawnmower with it, you're going to have a little bit of a problem.
So these are perishable goods, unlike crude oil. Can Hugo Chavez change the game for us by doing something down in Venezuela?
No, he has changed the game, though. I mean, when he kicked out all the Western engineers, he basically sort of let his own refining system fumble. They were the principal supplier of South and Central America, and now the U.S. has really supplanted them.
So we benefit from that.
We benefited from Hugo Chavez sort of mucking up the refining system in Venezuela and offshore.
Well, thank you for that. Tom Closa is the chief oil analyst at OPIS, the Oil Price Information Service. Thanks, Tom.
Take care.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.